All right, let me jump on into the Right Side Way opening monologue, and I'll remind you guys that the daily sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue is, in fact, Stan McDonald. Stan McDonald, partner at the law firm of Wilmer & Lee, a 30-year veteran in the practice of law. And yeah, Stan McDonald, longtime conservative, is also the daily sponsor of the Right Side Way. And I'll tell you more about Stan here in just a few minutes. All right, listen. A story came out just the other day. I thought it was fascinating. Some of y'all will too. Donald Trump Jr. apparently has a new business venture. He does. He just partnered with another entrepreneur to take a company public that some are calling the Amazon of Guns. All right, you had me at guns. The Amazon of Guns. Now, many people may not be aware that Don Jr. is actually a big gun guy. He loves to hunt, and I know for a fact that a friend of mine who has a wing shooting lodge right here in Northeast Alabama actually hosted him a couple years ago to hunt pheasant. So his company, the new company, is called Grab a Gun. GrabAGun.com. I'm not just doing this as a sponsorship, but I'm just telling you what it is. GrabAGun.com. They sell ammunition, firearms, firearms accessories, all on a website. He said that he considers himself a political refugee from New York, now living in the free state of Florida. And he felt like when he got to return to the New York Stock Exchange to take a firearms company public, it was like a full circle opportunity to repudiate gun policies and wokeisms that have stifled the Second Amendment and gun dealers in general. Check out their platform. It's pretty cool. I have looked at it myself, and I am already finding myself telling me to keep the credit card in the pocket. But look, one article that I read on the public offering of Grab a Gun said, quote, after years of gun companies being deplatformed and debanked, Trump Jr. said that his investment group's involvement with Grab a Gun is what he called a catalyst for change. In an era where there's been a cultural shift in attitudes toward the Second Amendment, and I agree with that, I think woke world hates guns. Woke world absolutely hates guns. But the idea that a new gun company is going to deliver to people's houses, yeah, it's already driving the left nuts. You can search and you can quickly find headlines crowing on the left-leaning outlets like CNBC and Daily Beast and Bloomberg and Newsweek and Reuters and all of them, saying that, well, his stock offering is fizzling. He didn't raise as many millions in his first 24 hours as he could have. Oh, okay. You know what the bottom line is? Libs don't understand guns. They don't. They don't understand them at all. They're a mystery. They can't even describe them well. They don't know what to do with them. They operate under the belief that the gun by itself is the danger, not the person who actually wields it. But really, if you get down to it, especially when it comes to firearms, liberals are just so predictable. One of the few absolutes in life is the predictable outcome of any shooting incident when liberals believe that gun control is what is needed. They will bellow it from the highest hilltops. It's gun control that we need, not enforcing criminal laws. The Second Amendment is outdated, they say, or in President Biden's words, not absolute. And that it was the gun itself that caused the crisis, not the criminal. Meanwhile, the inference is that all of us who are gun owners are somehow complicit in the crime that occurred if, in fact, we believe in the right to bear arms. Well, by that same rationale, I guess, I suppose that all car owners are complicit if a drunk driver causes an accident. One did it. Aren't they all guilty? All knife owners are complicit if a knife is used in a crime. Or here's my favorite. The game of baseball should be banned and all baseball players, young and old, should be held accountable if a baseball bat ever finds its way into a crime scene. These are ridiculous arguments based on a fallacious reasoning by simple minds who cannot grasp that accountability and punishment for bad actors should be confined to the level of criminal culpability of the actual accused, not to society as a whole. In short, gun control is a lazy man's argument in the aftermath of a shooting tragedy. But I will say this, some of the gun control proponents do provide some comedy relief. Gun control proponents, I mean, when is the gun control lobby going to start giving lessons to its members on how to actually talk about guns or not talk about them for that matter? I mean, think about it. If you're going to try and talk bad about something, shouldn't you be able to actually describe what it is? I mean, do you know why I don't try to spend time talking about geosynchronous orbit of satellites? Because I'm not a rocket scientist. I don't try to tell a physician what dosage to prescribe for medication. I have no clue, and I know it, though. So why then do liberals continue to provide us with comic relief by talking about guns with such fervor when it's painfully obvious they have no idea what they're talking about? I don't have a good answer for that very good question, but I do have some examples. It's hilarious. Like the time when Senator Dianne Feinstein, bless her heart, said, quote, "We have federal regulations and state laws that prohibit hunting ducks with more than 3 rounds, and yet it's legal to hunt humans with 15-round, 30-round, even 150-round magazines." All right. I don't know where it's actually legal to hunt humans, but I also question the veracity of your arguments and especially the 150-round magazines. She's also, by the way, the person who said that the Clinton-era assault weapons ban didn't go far enough. Or how about then-Vice President Joe Biden, who believes strongly in deterrence by means of a shotgun? He said a few years back, "Well, you know my shotgun will do better for you than your AR-15 because you want to keep someone away from your house, you just fire the shotgun through the door." Well, okay. He went on to say that rifles can blast through walls and then hurt somebody. What is he even talking about now? So intruders who get in, I'm thinking Shotgun Joe's never actually loaded the 12-gauge with double-aught buck or slugs. I'm just saying. Then there was Representative Diana DeGette. Representative Diana DeGette, Democrat from Colorado, had a humdinger. Try to follow this. She said, quote, "If you ban them in the future, the number of these high-capacity magazines is going to decrease dramatically over time because bullets will have been shot and there won't be any more left." I don't even know what that means. I guess she's saying that if we reduce the number of magazines, there's going to be fewer bullets? I don't know. But I do know that where she's from, they have recreational marijuana, so there's that. Perhaps my favorite, though, of all time comes from Democrat New York Assemblywoman Patricia Eddington, who was apparently under the impression that we now have miniature heat-seeking missiles being fired at deer. Go with me here. She said this, and I'm quoting directly, she said, "Some of these bullets, as you saw, have an incendiary device on the tip of it, which is a heat-seeking device. So you don't shoot deer with a bullet that size. If you do, you'll cook it all at the same time." That's her comment. I did not make that up. So apparently no need to field dress that buck. You just shoot it with a heat-seeking bullet and serve it up hot right there in the field. Look, in the end, I could spend my entire 3-hour show today giving you constant streaming examples of liberals pretending they know something about firearms, but they don't. And they embarrass themselves when they pretend otherwise. But that's really not their aim, though, is it? The bottom line in the gun control debate is that I may not be a rocket scientist or a surgeon or a rocket surgeon for that matter, but even still, the various aspects of those professions and what they can do can be regulated out of existence if politicians want to go down that road. But the right to possess firearms is actually protected under the Second Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, a distinction that makes the various attempts to exert control of the ownership and use of firearms even far more nefarious and egregious. It's like saying, "I believe in God, but I don't believe that all the Bible's accurate." No, it doesn't work that way. You believe or you don't. "I believe in everything but Genesis 1:1. You know, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." I'm sorry. If you don't believe Genesis 1:1, then why don't you just go ahead and pause and think about whether you believe about the rest of it? What I'm saying is the Constitution's that way. If you don't like the Second Amendment, you don't get to discard it. It's part of the whole. It all goes together. So likewise, when you choose to selectively abridge this one constitutional right, like the Second Amendment in this case, our basic liberties, then you have in fact called them all into question. You see, rights are either inviolable or they're not. Period. That's why it's called a right. Congressman Chip Roy said it well in a gun control hearing. He said, quote, "Democrats' push for stricter gun control laws is actually about their war against traditional American culture. It's not about protecting citizens from gun violence." I think he's right. "The fact here is," he said, "it's really about the left's culture war against gun owning and supporting America. That's what it's about." He concluded those comments, by the way, in the face of a bill that would apply some real knee-jerk restrictions to gun ownership. He said this in the end of his comments. He said, "In order to tell the American people a lie that the government will protect them, half of this committee I'm sitting on is willing to take away a citizen's God-given right to protect himself or herself from harm, and importantly, from the very tyranny being applied to them to deny the right." And there you have it. These arguments, y'all, they're often inane, they're often ridiculous, they're full of hyperbole. They clearly show that in a rush to speak and act and legislate without even understanding the facts or even the capabilities of a firearm, that the gun control mob, they don't really care about firearms. If they did, they would at the very least present a cogent factual statement instead of embarrassing themselves by talking about something that makes no sense. Now, instead, they're really intent on creating control. That's what they want. They want control. The weakening of liberties embedded in our Constitution and more political firepower for themselves, if you'll excuse the pun. And they don't care how they get there, even if it takes 150-round magazine of shotgun shells with a barrel shroud. Huh. Live free or die, right? That's a wrap for the Right Side Way.